You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some
noise! Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we go over the North London Derby.
Yeah!
And then the Everton Wolves Derby that we just invented right now. Also, we're talking about can a female soccer player play in the NFL? Let's listen to the Twitter comments because they are always informative. And we talk about more issues in Italy that we don't want to talk about. Solve the racism issue because it's getting ridiculous.
We also solve the CBA. Don't forget that for MLS. You're welcome, everybody. Helicopters. In the second segment, we talked to Tommy Thompson. He's our cousin from Latin America.
That's our homie. Okay. Primo. It's good.
He's playing out there at San Jose. We talked to him. I promise you it's not all in Spanish. You're going to love it. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby. I should be like, TV!
No, we're terrestrial radio. That's where the future is.
Buddy, get your beepers out. We'll let you know when we're on the radio.
Okay, we'll let you know what number to call so you can hear the show.
So you can, come on.
Hello, welcome to the Cooligans. I feel like for our audience, the energy changed very quickly.
Yeah, we were wild chill before.
We were just chilling, sipping kombucha, you know, and then all of a sudden.
Just a nice tall glass of booch, and then next thing you know, it hits.
Okay,
it's like a cocaine edible. All of a sudden, when you least expect it.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Our comedic brains are gelling into one. I was literally gonna say it's just like our show is basically the cocaine of podcasts.
Were you gonna really say that?
I was gonna say that.
All right, huh?
We did it. Look the synergy, the chemistry, the passion.
That's right, because we make you poop.
Hello, welcome to the
and we ruin your family. You're going to lose your job because of us.
It's the least we can do for our
listeners. We like to get in there, mix it up a little bit, you know?
Hello, welcome to the show, everybody. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever heard of, all at the top of Madison Square Garden.
That's right. Not for much longer, but for right now. We are at the top of Madison Square Garden. You know what? We decided to go somewhere where the Knicks don't lose below us.
Okay. Now they'll just lose a couple blocks away from us. Yeah.
Slightly outside of our reach. But I feel like we're going to get the stench of all these terrible contracts off of us. You know what I mean?
Okay, cool. I thought you were talking about our contract, but no, you're talking about the Knicks contract.
And wait till we're allowed to talk about James Dolan. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's where he's been holding us back. We signed that gag order. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. NDA. So, no Dolan.
Yes, correct. So this is the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to, but it's not exclusively that.
No, it is not that. It's also your favorite unboxing podcast.
That's very
important. It's also your favorite bobblehead podcast. It also happens to be the gulliest soccer podcast.
That's right. The resume is getting just longer and longer. The special skill section. Yeah. We need a new page.
It just flaps out. Yeah. It's actually, you could pull on that, sir. You could. It opens up a little bit.
It's like a Hallmark card.
Bit of a waterfall we gave you there.
Yes.
Speaking of Gully, yo, shouts to Gully Squad and shouts to a Gully Squad member hanging out.
Oh, we do. We have Eric Gomez in here.
Hi.
Thanks for coming through all the way from Washington State.
Right. He's from Wachahopic, Washington. I think I pronounced that correctly.
Wow. It's not even.
Not
even any letters from where is it? Yakima.
I was so close.
So Yakima, but
Yakima sounds like one of those things in those like in an 80s song. There you go. Hey yo, but bam. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about. But you look. You're not
fans. Let me know what song. I just remembered from sitting in my mom's car while she went into the supermarket by herself and left me in there.
Trust me, you are not the person I go to when I need to know about 80s music, all right?
You're not talking about
Eric, do you know what he's talking about?
No. No, this isn't that's not the city ordinance for everyone to know this song.
Yes, okay.
Well, all the way from Jicama, Washington, we got.
Are you thinking like the Kokomo? I think that's what you're thinking.
No, that's Beach Boys, right?
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm thinking about like one of those songs that like they don't really have lyrics. Tim,
he's like Tim.
He said, "I got you with that song. Let's go, Tim."
He's like, "Tim, you're white. Yeah. You must know what."
yo, Tim, you mad white, dog? Actually, he's not. He's like, he's the hoodest white dude I ever met. He also put cocaine edible or enema. It's either or. Hey, you know? However you get it in your system.
We take it in either way. It's all good. Yeah, so like we said, this is a soccer podcast. We promise.
My flag boy, your flag boy sitting by the fire. You know what I'm talking about now?
No.
Tim knows. All right.
No, I don't. All right. Please, I'm stop accusing me of knowing. You keep pointing at me like, why would I know? No, the music I'm listening to right now, to be honest, we got to give a shout out. Tool. Tool has a brand new album, Fear Inoculum, that people should be listening to.
I don't know about this.
Tool is one of the greatest bands I've ever lived.
I know the shirts.
Yeah, the shirts are popular.
I've seen the shirts quite a bit. Mostly on people I'm a little afraid to stand near.
Sure, but Tool...
I feel like this dude didn't shower.
Tool is not a typical emo or grungy...
I just picture a lot of screaming, heavy guitar riffs.
Not a lot of screaming. It's a little softer than Pearl Jam, I would say.
I don't know what that is. But I
you
do
don't know,
know...
Come on.
I mean, I don't know Pearl Jam music. There was one where the kid would stand in the front of the class and I would just shut that off every time I saw that video. I'm like, done. Also, that guy sounds like he's singing through his nostrils. I can't understand how people like Pearl Jam. Which we'll call it. Is Tool like Nine Inch Nails? I've heard that.
Closer. Yeah, I would say closer to Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
Yeah.
One song. Aaliyah
great
was
music.
In it.
They haven't released an album in about 10 years. They released
album. They still got it.
So listen to Fear Inoculum if you haven't. Listen to the Tool catalog because it is great. This podcast will now become an exclusively Tool podcast if it has to be because the album, I'm just excited that they're making music again.
By the way, Tim sent us Ico Ico is a much covered New Orleans song that tells of a parade collision between two tribes of Mardi Gras Indians and traditional conversation. The song under the original title Giacomo. That's what I thought was my bad. So Giacomo, Washington. I'm not that far, okay? To the listeners.
Okay.
Not that far.
All right.
In my brain, those are the same names.
In his barely functioning brain,
he turns on every once in a while. When it does, a couple of jitters, okay?
Okay, when people think of a brain and like firing off synapses, is doing.
Mine more sputters. Yeah, I think there's spark plugs need to be fixed on that. Everyone, break in real quick to talk to you about our favorite sponsor, SeatGeek.
SeatGeek sponsoring the show this week, looking out for you. Any event you want to go to, any MLS matches, any NWSL matches, any men's national team matches that are coming up, like the one against Mexico this Friday, I believe.
Bro, you know how hard it is to find tickets for events? You got to search like 1,000 different ones. Why would you do that? SeatGeek's already doing that for you. And you know you got your phone on you. I know you're using it right now listening to us while you're pooping, okay? Here's what you want to do. Think about that event you want to go to
While you're pooping.
Think about it. He's like, you know it would be a good event, one with a comfortable seat. You're pushing, right? We're hard right now, right? So here's what you do. You pull up the SeatGeek app, right? And guess what it's going to do? It'll tell you the events that are around you. And you could find other events if you want to go. Maybe you're going to go visit cousins or family. Go find an event over there so you don't have to spend time with those people. You don't like them, they don't like you either.
Boom. Those people.
Right? Ew. Why do you have to go? Right? Also, there's that little green, yellow, and red thing. So you know if it's a great deal, a good deal, like, yo, these tickets are hard to find. You might as well get this one right now.
Yeah.
They tell you everything you need to know. And it just doesn't end there, bruh.
Of course, because if you use the promo code Cooligans, you will get $10 off your first order.
Come on.
So do it.
Come on. Do it before you flush.
What a quote. So, yes, welcome to the show. And yes, this is exciting and, a slightly somber day because this is...
I think it's exciting. Okay. I don't think it's somber at all.
Okay. All right.
We're moving on up. We're leaving. We're kicking the dust off this one stoplight town.
No, I don't want to, you know, end on any bad blood with anybody.
I will not remember anybody from this place.
This is our I guess, officially our last day.
At
Stage 17 here at Cumulus Media. We'll be, you guys heard about the TV show. You may have already seen some of the little commercial.
The promos.
Little commercial spots. The Cooligans have been doing.
We got more coming out.
Look at the acting range from the Cooligans.
I tried to dress like Braveheart, and they said it's not needed for the scene. And I said, don't you tell me. Don't you read my lines.
So we will be moving on to a different studio, and we'll give you more details later on.
And look, we'll probably be back here when that all crashes. You know,
we'll be running back here, hat in hand.
And I'll be like, I remember all of you. There's What's-His-Face and John. Giacomo. Who doesn't remember Giacomo?
But we
remember the jokes you used to say, like, that's not my name. Remember that?
Hilarious. It was a good bit that we had going. So we were going to be in a different studio, and like we said, tune in. The TV show will be officially coming out September 10th, and we'll give you more details about all that stuff. Just keep following us. Get on our email list if you have not, and continue listening to the podcast.
Gully Squad, because we be putting some information in there that's not for the full public sometimes.
Exactly. Yo, Eric knows.
You know what I mean? We'll be dropping some gems and be like, yo, turns out I was not supposed to say that. Redacted.
Okay. Yes. Again, we're excited about the future, but there's still a lot of stuff going on right now. And usually we like to start the show showing love to the people who show love to us. So we have to do exactly that, especially the people who leave reviews on iTunes. Thank you so much for helping that quest for 600.
Yes.
We're trying to get there. We're at 564.
So close. I can't stress the importance of 600. Because then that opens a door for us. And that room is filled with the quest for 700. Okay, then we get the bag for 700.
Exactly. So it's an important time in Cooligan's lore.
And people are going to ask you, where were you when they were begging for 600? Be like, oh, I was right there with them.
Do you want to start with one, or should I start with one?
I like this one by Josh N22. Did you see this? It's just called Another Review. That's the title. Five stars. Shouts to you. And the whole review is quest for 600 five stars. Thank you.
All right, you're on you're speaking our language.
Yeah, buddy, that's part of the process. Gotta toss in a couple of dead ones in there. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll read this one. This is just a bunch of numbers. 999111.
I saw this one.
It's just a bunch of numbers. So it's probably a robot. Right. Hopefully it's a sex robot. I mean, that'd be great.
Okay. And we're fully supportive. Like, independent robot. You are a robot. You can do whatever you want.
You can identify as whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want with your robot body. Okay.
So it said, the subject is bad taste in clubs, great taste in cuisine.
Ooh.
Okay. This is interesting.
Okay.
It says, the review says, even though Alexis is a typical bandwagon gooner.
I've been there since before. I said, thank you.
And he's in parentheses. He goes, yes, I was the guy booing every time you mentioned Arsenal.
I remember this guy.
At the World Cup comedy tour in Cincinnati. He still has good takes in everything from the American soccer pyramid to traditional Portuguese spicy chicken dishes.
Hey, Betty, Betty.
This show continues to amaze and entertain with their insight into the minutiae of modern soccer and societal issues that somehow still exist within the game. I find myself agreeing with their takes more often than not, and think they are the voices that American soccer needs to help cultivate a unique culture. The minute I heard these two were getting a TV show, I subscribed to Fubo TV, and will be happy to see their growth, which hopefully results in Alexis picking a less trash club to support. And then he ends by saying, Christian, you're cool in my book.
he also puts, I'm Cincy till I die, and come on you Gunners, I'll love Arsenal forever. Shouts to us all.
He definitely did not say.
And he says, down the spuds. That's weird that he wrote that in there.
Interesting. No, there's a little bit of some Arsenal editing in there. But thank you, 9991. I'm just going to call you Sex Robot.
Thank you, Sex Robot.
Just because it's just great. So thank you. The North London Derby did happen over the weekend. How was your experience, especially being down 2-0?
That's not the part we need to talk about. We need to talk about Arsenal having the gumption to come back from a 2-0 deficit, which they did not deserve.
Okay.
They had complete control of the match, and here comes Tottenham just sputtering along and finding some nice counterattacking goals. That's all.
Okay.
I was very excited. I'm still frustrated at... Emery has seemed to put in a system. There seems to be an understanding. There's also a liveliness to the fan base and the atmosphere that didn't exist before. But I cannot for the life of me understand why he's not putting in Pepe at the same time as all the forwards across all the matches, along with Ceballos in the game. Yeah. What are we doing?
Okay, yeah.
Put it on all your best horses, yo. This is the North London Derby. I know we're only, what, 4 weeks in?
You basically have a caballo right there.
Put in your best caballos.
It's just one letter off.
You can't see Christian's eyes when he says things like that, but the pride in which he has it himself.
Okay,
you know,
it's unapologetically Latino,
unabashedly.
Right?
He's okay. Doing bilingual puns for you.
All right, that's what it's an ñ on the pun.
Yeah, so. Puns.
So get used to it. All right, television.
It's a whole new world. We're bringing this to TV, folks. That just lets you know all your dreams can come true. If we could get a TV show, y'all could get a TV show.
Exactly. And it just teaches you that there are people in the world that can be wildly irresponsible with their money.
Yes.
Right?
So, yeah, dude.
So we're learning that. No, I think that the thing I took away from that game was the first goal from Arsenal, which was Lacazette.
Yeah.
Doing the Joseph Martinez celebration.
Staring.
Anybody else notice that? Okay, maybe MLS is a little bit more popular than we may think.
Seems like they're getting ahead a little bit. You know what I mean? We're getting more advanced in society when MLS teams are now inspiring the reaction.
Very much. Yeah. They saw Lacazette, he must be watching Atlanta United games being like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing out here.
Okay, I like this guy. Oh, he spins and then scores a goal? I think I'll try that too.
I appreciate his intensity.
How come we don't have fire screaming out from around the goal when we score?
Look, yeah, nice little, train horn would be pretty cool at the Emirates. I think Emery would get a little anxious.
But it'd be mad British. He'd be like, bring, bring. All aboard. That's all mad respectful.
But the game was entertaining. I enjoyed that North London derby. It was I'm not a fan of either team. But the energy and the on Twitter the level of the game almost has to end in a draw. I almost love when the North London derby ends in a draw because. Everyone's so angry. Everyone is just mad.
That's just 100% frustration. So you have sex and no one climaxes during sex. You're just like, what did we just do for an hour and a half?
You know?
Everyone's sweaty.
I think we need a sex robot. Yes.
Let's bring in 9911122.
So there's so both. Petty fan bases and
yeah,
they
of course.
Hate each other so much, and it's so fun to see them both hate each other and be frustrated with not only with each other but with their own coaches, their
everything,
everyone.
Pochettino's mad. The only people Arsenal didn't walk out mad, and they kind of should be. You let a team steal a point at your home.
Aubameyang was in the post game conference. He was like,
was he?
He was not happy.
It
was
I like, watched should- post game. Okay. What am I going to do there?
You've already shattered your television. So.
Yeah. I throw it out the window. I know because every time there's an Arsenal match, there's a bunch of people standing outside waiting.
But he was unhappy, and that was like good to see. It's just but I don't know. Like I've watched maybe two Arsenal matches this season. But then I also listened to Zito on Total Soccer Show.
Right.
Before the season started and kind of talk about what he sort of expected. And it was nice to hear that because I don't know exactly. This is what I do like about Arsenal is that every year they, and even with Emery there, they still play a similar style. They're still very active, very fun.
It's going to be fun to watch. Also, we have no back line, so just score as much as you can.
That's the main concern. I don't know that if that's much of a priority.
No.
But it was entertaining to watch, and they are a fun team to watch, even though they're going to probably just lose a whole bunch to the better teams.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to win 4-3 every match. Okay, we're going to lose probably 3-0 every match. So the goal differential is going to be shocking.
Yes, and Everton.
Yeah, you beat Wolves, baby.
Beat Wolves. So that was a
third-party ownership United. That's the players that they have.
I'll take it.
It's all illegal. Shouts to Wolves for being a gulliest team in Premier League.
That was Everton, when they look like they have a better defense. Look, they have like Yerry Mina, and like you think they spent a lot of money, but I think they
also have Walcott. So it's just not going to work out. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm glad you're so certain. I think that the bigger issue is with Marco Silva. Just like he's just not a good coach. I don't think he even knows what he's doing. He has like all this access to money and all these players. And he's like, I didn't think you would say yes.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. So if I tell them to stand somewhere, they will. That's going to be dope.
they're just like not. They just too many mistakes. I don't know. Individually. You see the play, like the list of play, Moise Keane and Iwobi and it was good. Speaking of strategy, it's like he got the new signings, put him in the game, and Iwobi scoring early. They look good. So it's just like that. Why didn't he do that the first three games?
Iwobi is a player you're gonna love and hate all like week to week. You know what I mean? He's gonna do something stupid on the ball, but he's also gonna play like he did in
okay.
this last.
It's difficult for me to really. What does that mean coming from an Arsenal fan? Because I feel like that is there
when there's openings to pass someone open, he's gonna want to still be fancy.
No. About you loving him week to that's every single player with every. Arsenal.
No. You're gonna. You
what
know,
player like, do you love on Arsenal right now that you love? That doesn't matter. You can love him 2 weeks in a row.
Lacazette.
You okay?
Even if he misses, I'm like, I have confidence that that's not who he is. He's had a bad week.
Does he? Iwobi. Every time starts. Why doesn't he start?
Lacazette.
Yeah.
He's getting chances. Look, again, we're just talking about Ceballos. We got this guy magically on loan, and he's not starting. And when he comes in, we look good.
Okay.
You know, Emery, I don't know. He's got the new teeth. He dyes his hair now. He's a different person. He's like, you can't talk to me anymore.
Yeah, did he get divorced or something? I'm a new man.
Yeah, if not, he will be soon. You know what happens when people are doing that. And he's like, you got to go to another weekend trip to Spain. I know. I'll be back.
So I'm glad. I think Everton now is like in, where are the standings?
I think we're fifth and you're what? Eighth?
We're sixth.
Right behind us.
Right behind you.
I think it's only because of goal differential.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the same goal differential.
It's because of how many goals scored. We've scored more goals.
Okay. Look at that.
Shouts. I think we scored, what, seven?
Both sitting on zero.
Ah!
What you know about that?
Yo, so it's not a negative.
So, we'll see. Everton will not be there long. Trust me. So a couple things to talk about in American soccer. Oh, before we actually get started talking about American soccer, we have to give a shout out, maybe a happy birthday even to maybe a future, maybe honorary Gully Squad member.
Ooh.
Luca, Danielle's baby.
Oh, hell yeah.
So this
gulliest baby of all time.
Gulliest baby of all time. Who has a Gully as a Gully AF sticker on.
They gullified
the carriage.
The carriage, the stroller.
The stroller has a Gully sticker. So I don't know. This is already the gulliest baby, right? Uh-huh. Because because repping hard out in these DC streets.
Didn't have a chance.
So, but congratulations to Danielle and her husband. I don't know. You know what? I don't know her husband's first name. It just says Jay Nicholas. Jay Nicholas.
So Jay.
Giacomo.
Giacomo.
Now we figured it out.
No, it all comes together.
So, congratulations on the new baby. We're huge fans. So,
excited.
If you don't know, Danielle and Nicholas are part of Screaming Eagles.
Screaming Eagles?
Yeah, it's a new cartoon for the baby, Eagles.
It's going to be fun. Why are all these cartoons just drinking by water? just wait. They all go to a stadium shortly after.
Exactly. So, yes, and they are part of Screaming Eagles, and they do a lot of stuff to help the supporters group and help DC United, with the supporters culture. So this baby, it's always cool when soccer supporters have a child, because you know that indoctrination is coming in fast and hard, right? It is going to be, this baby is going to be exactly and support the things I support. And if you deviate, you are no longer my child.
How dare you? We got a message from Danielle. She sent this to me. It doesn't have anything private information, so I'll read it. It says, baby demands food every hour on the overnight. Nick, she put, you just had to declare he was gully, didn't you?
Beautiful. Okay.
Shouts to him.
The baby has the same diet as Alexis Guerrero's. Got it.
If I'm supposed to fast for 16 hours, you best believe I'm going to eat for all eight. Okay.
So congrats. So let's talk about a couple of things going on in American soccer. Just if you follow any American soccer players that play in MLS, you may have seen them post an image that says, basically, it either says, I heart MLSPA or I, what is it?
I am? MLSPA.
Okay, well, but it looks like a paw.
It looks like a bear paw.
It looks like a bear claw or a paw?
Paw. A little bear paw.
Okay.
Little baby bear paw.
Just pretty adorable.
But the entire league did it. Every player.
Yes, every player. Yeah, not MLS, not the league.
No, they were very much not the posting
league,
them.
The league is very
they
much.
They actually posted a, you're what? And it had the bear, the claws going through it.
So all the players posted a thing saying, I am MLSPA. And everybody was kind of asking the question, what is this all about? We actually got a message from Tesho.
Yeah, that's right.
Tesho Akindele.
Well, I reached out to him and was like, hey, because I saw the first few and I wrote, hey, man, what's this all about? And there were all these things coming out saying like, oh, it was, should we say what he said? I don't think we're.
Yeah, a lot of players have said it. Just like it's just showing unity amongst the players for the upcoming collective bargaining agreement. Yeah,
I mean, I think the official statement from MLSPA was that it's just the Labor Day celebration. This is just saying, hey, Labor Day is coming up for everyone in unions. We're a union. Also, they didn't put this. This was the sheet of paper that fell off that they didn't put. It was like, yo, negotiations are coming up. And it seems like we might be unified a little bit this time.
Yeah, so we should talk about, because this kind of sparked a lot of the conversations. This sparked a lot of like weird labor conversations about unions. And I don't know. So it's just such a strange thing when like the history that I learned was of like, what was it? The triangle.
The shirt factory.
Shirt factory. And it's like people dying in fires, and because they have no, there's no over, nobody.
This
like,
is what they went over as you were a child.
Well, they did. They taught us about it. So you learn like, oh, maybe unions are a good thing because it can protect workers from dangerous, work environments.
Yeah.
And then people are like, unions are terrible. They're just, it's just like, it makes no sense whatsoever.
I didn't see I know that there's both sides of the argument.
I've just seen a lot of it throughout Labor Day. It's just like this anti-union kind of messaging when it doesn't really make much sense because unions have reshaped the way work happens in the country.
Yeah, but like when you get a group that has to all vote one way and all has to do something one way, it's sort of, you can then find ways to manipulate that.
Of course.
Jimmy Hoffa, okay?
A hero.
You know what I'm saying? Shouts to him. But yeah, I mean, look, that's what I like about unions, is that you could bribe just one person and you get all of them.
The Philadelphia are the huge fans of it, I think.
And they will not be duped.
So, at the very least, this is what I think is, we should talk about some of the things that are the MLS players are kind of looking for. What should be like a little bit, a few
free
of the
agency,
priorities.
I think is the big one, right?
So
chartered flights,
free agency chartered flights. Especially, look, charter flights seem to be high up on the list when you see the number of complaints from players. They live tweet themselves like at the airport. Yeah. Oh, it's like, hey, at yo, MLS,
yo. Zone 7. What type of?
Yo, why is it taking so long?
Why am I loading mad late? I gotta check my bag at the gate.
It's
now?
Like, okay, look, you should be talking to Delta, not. not the social media person at MLS. I don't know how much they'll be able to help
you. We overbooked, so the rookies are going to have to fly tomorrow?
So it's like, I don't know. You're directing it in a strange place, but I get the point. Yeah. But no, they've been very vocal and publicizing the struggles that they have. Who was it that just
got... There's also teams that want to charter more, but you're only allowed by MLS to charter 4 flights a season.
Yeah. Isn't it 2?
I think it's 4. I think it's 2... Okay. Back.
Yeah.
It's trash.
So
also, yo, why aren't we using helicopters? Now, just hear me out. I know you can only fit like 4 people in a helicopter, right? But imagine a sea of helicopters showing up for an away game.
Okay. So I actually just watched.
Here we go. I feel like I'm starting. Somehow, on the last day on stage 17, Christian's all in. Bad puns. And now he's like, wait a minute, Alexis, that's a good idea.
No.
Is it the booch?
So I was just watching. An interview with Romelu Lukaku on the Lighthearted podcast. This is Josh Hart from the New Orleans Pelicans. He played on the Lakers and he just got traded.
I watched the same thing.
Right. So, and he mentioned how Kobe Bryant didn't live, he lived outside of LA. He lived in Orange County, but he would, to go to training and to go to games, he would take a helicopter to go to the games. And they feel like, he was saying like, that's why Kobe was so successful, because he didn't like, he wasn't, I mean, this is Kobe Bryant, so we know that he's had his issues,
right.
But he wasn't as tempted in LA with like nightclubs and all the normal temptations.
Yeah.
And again, I know who we're talking about.
Yeah. I think like other things strike us fancy,
but the helicopter to a game thing is not unheard of, but it's also not MLS players. It's Kobe Bryant and it's the NBA. It's the LA Lakers.
I'm just signing them all for Marquee Jet. You know what I mean? Which is like the thing they fly out of like 34th Street. You know what I'm talking about? Like right on the water.
On the
other side of the West Side Highway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The little helipad. Just sign them up for that.
Done, Robin.
Yo, Donnie G, hit us up.
Yo, but give me a front office job. I'm good. I got all the ideas.
Collective bargaining is done without even the collecting or the bargaining, really. Turns out we just show up and make agreements.
Yeah. So look, the charter flight.
I also think the whole charter flight thing is.
What do you think they're gonna get?
I think they're dangling that as a carrot to get everything else they want.
So high, like they want to remove the salary cap, right?
Yeah.
That's like, or at least a higher salary cap. But
there should be no reason for a salary cap.
Okay, there should be no reason, but there is a reason, right? And we've spoken to several people about it, which Alexis does not choose to remember right at the moment. But the removing the salary cap will definitively hurt the American player.
It will not.
Definitively.
It will not, because all that's going to happen is those players are just going to shift down. Those players now, that builds up USL, USL 1, USL 2, USL 75, whatever they got going on down there. NISA, you know?
So
Honda, I don't know how many other leagues we have. Everyone gets built up. First of all, the American player, look at the players we're building that are going to Europe. They're not going to need to go to Europe anymore. They're going to be able to play here if they want. So it's going to hurt the American player. Well, Josh Sargent's going to get a start. Christian Pulisic would get a start.
You're saying like in MLS, they would get, of course, the high caliber American player.
And also, but, I'm not saying to get rid of international slots.
The players,
I never said to get rid of international slots.
Okay.
Or sluts. All right. I don't know what we're doing. Okay.
Enjoy your life. All right. There's no slut shaming here.
No, not at all. Enjoy. Who cares?
Okay. We know a couple of DPs that have been some international sluts.
Who don't remember what DP meant originally. What are we doing? You listen to this. It's not our fault.
But no, the players that are earning 75K. Why would you keep that player on board when you can get you can spend $100K and get a player, you know, a player from abroad. That would be much better.
What I don't think people are understanding, including you, is that it's not so much saying it'll hurt the American player. Yeah, look, the bottom ring of American players will fall off. That's going to happen. It's only going to make the lower leagues a bit more competitive, right? There's only so much talent in this country until we build more. So okay. It waters the product down anyway when that's all you have, right?
So you're saying it will build up the lower leagues of soccer.
Yes,
more
but
than.
Here's the other thing it'll do. It will appropriately value our players. We don't value our players. We're paying players that could probably get, I don't know, $800,000 a year. We're paying them $120,000 a year as an example because we have a salary cap. Well, that's all we could really give you. If they were in any other league, they may not be making $1 million a year, but they'd be pretty close. Okay. They might be making 10, 15, 20,000 a week, right? We're not giving them that. If all of a sudden there's no salary cap, now we have to give them that. We have to give them market value.
Okay, but we're also their market value might not also not be not in the league at all. You know what I mean? Like it'll definitely be it'll be harsher when making those cuts.
Sure,
without a doubt. That's all. But the MLS Players Union has to look out for these players. They're not just going to be like
Look out for American players though. They have to look out for all players in their union. It doesn't matter where they're from.
I agree, but the majority of the players in their union are American, and they have clearly.
So I mean, maybe they should just build a wall. Look, I mean, I'm not saying it's the best idea.
Wall where? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Near the helicopters. Why are you asking me smart questions?
It's something to take into consideration. I don't know, like when I think of as a fan, what do I want the players union to fight for the most? Removing the salary cap would be a thing. I know that would immediately in 2020 the league will be popping, right? There's gonna
at the very least there's gonna be like 5 or 6 clubs that'd be like, yo,
exactly.
CONCACAF Champions League is nothing.
Yo, bring UEFA Champions League out here,
just mushing. America in the face, just mushing Tigres in the face.
So it would change things a lot. And I think that, but there has to be a couple of those moves that at least instill some confidence into the future of American soccer. And also, removing the salary cap, I don't think it's going to happen, but definitely a higher salary cap.
But also, I mean, I don't know that removing the salary cap really shifts as much as you think, is because the development academies are still making players, and they're making American players.
The development academies, every academy is not equal, right? Some, like FC Dallas, is, yeah, they're putting out good product.
You tell me Pomacol? You tell me Jackson Yule?
Sure.
You know, players like that aren't going to continue to play?
They are, but it's not, every academy is not doing, not producing the same amount of talent as like FC Dallas and things like that. So it's still, there's still a lot of, competition, and there's still a lot of, it's going to take a lot of time to still, for that lower level, especially at the academy level, which is fairly new. 6 years old, 7 years old?
I mean, come on, we're at the point now where we're making pretty great players and strides in these academies.
So
it's still a single entity, which I hope collapses, but it's still a single entity. So, or at least splits apart. I don't want it to collapse. I want it to break up. But if that's the case, you know, FC Dallas should be sharing best practices with all these other teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'll do that. Just for the competition? Like, yeah.
Here's what we do. Everybody eats 2 cheeseburgers before every training. Go ahead, try it. No, just go try it. Report back in a year or two.
It works. Trust me, that's how Reggie Cannon keeps fit.
Yeah. Your kid's got abs. You're going to tell me no? You're going to tell me no. Why don't you go do it?
Yes. All of a sudden, the Hunts sound like they're from New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, you heard about Popeye's chicken sandwiches? You know why they ran out? Academy systems. Did you try the Popeyes?
I have not. Have you?
I had 2 of them. They're great.
I know.
2 flavors.
Alexis, trust me. I know you had multiple. All right.
I had to try both flavors to see which one I like the most.
Oh, there's
spicy and classic, which is like the non-spicy.
Okay.
All right, here's my thing. So I'll tell you.
Alexis just eating. I'm a classic, man. Chomp.
You can stop singing, sir. The spicy chicken, actual, like the breaded chicken filet, has more flavor, but they put a chipotle mayo on that sandwich, whereas the classic has a regular, very tangy mayo, which is very good. So I would say get the spicy with the regular. Well, I mean, you can't get anything right now. You heard about the guy who sued
Because you eating them all. That's
no,
why.
I too. I feel like there's nothing bad. Guy in front of me bought like 10 of them, by the way. You hear about the guy who's suing Popeyes?
No.
Because he said it caused emotional distress that he kept driving around and couldn't find one. And also, he paid a guy on Craigslist $25 in the back of a Popeyes, $5 for the sandwich, $20 for his trouble. He said he had a couple of them stashed in the walk-in freezer. He goes, all right, stay back here. I'll be right back. Walks in, doesn't come back half an hour later. So the guy walks in and goes, hey, did you see this guy wearing blah, 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 blah? And they go, yeah, that guy was here not too long ago. He bought himself one of the sandwiches and walked out the front door. Come on.
Amazing.
Shouts to the street hustlers.
Man, you know, I've done some disgusting things at the back of a Popeyes.
And, and that one takes the cake. Speaking of cake, when last time I was back there.
Did you hear about the somebody held someone at gunpoint at the Popeyes?
Yeah, that's taking gully too far.
Is it? I don't even think the word gully needs to be involved in that. I don't want gully to be an accomplice for such an activity. I just
Gunny would disapprove.
Gunny would not be happy.
Yeah.
You just wait for the chicken. It'll show up at some point. I don't know. Is it actually worth this craziness?
Yes.
Really?
Here's what I'll say.
Look, and you know how I feel about food. There's no food on earth that will like even inspire me to like get out of my, like, leave my home.
Look, there's certainly a buzz and like for us, right? Are we that worthwhile? Yes. We're worth holding somebody up at gunpoint for to listen to us. No, we're worth waiting in line for. Here's the truth. It's the best fast food chicken sandwich. It's also the best slow fast food, casual fast food. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
okay.
Or fast casual, I believe they call it. Like, it's better than the Shake Shack. Chicken Shack burger sandwich.
Okay, and that's good. I like that burger.
So if you think that's good, this is even better. That's it. If you like chicken sandwiches, that was the one to get.
Okay, wow. I'll slap my mama for that chicken sandwich.
I know, because she already slapped me for it. So, I mean, she's got it coming. Take your helicopter, Les players.
Okay, so I'm trying to think, was there anything else in the players' union, CPA that we just talked about?
The Popeyes.
It really gets, this show kind of gets you a little bit of everything.
We're like an erector set.
So, anything, charter flights, salary cap, free agency.
Well, Taylor Twellman said that the single entity, it's time to get that done. Do you think that that's the case? Are you done with the idea of a single entity? Do you think we're past it now?
I think it's a good place to start. Because in that same interview, Romelu Lukaku was talking about letting the players negotiate like their own contracts for letting
teams
negotiate for
their own kits,
shirt sponsors and things like that. Like, we can start with these baby steps, like to let maybe make it optional.
They'll never do that because Adidas is bought into the league. They have Generation Adidas.
Yes, yes.
There's like so much attached to it.
I mean, it's not going to happen this collective bargaining agreement.
You don't know that.
That the single entity is going to fall apart.
They could say once these contracts are over, okay, we won't renegotiate new ones. There's things you can put in place now.
The Adidas deal is like for 10 years.
Okay,
so it might be a while.
Well, that would stop them from renewing it.
Correct. So
what I think the MLS Players Association needs to do is not fall for the same thing they fell last time. Remember, they were like, yo, we're losing money as a league. We're losing $100 million every year. What are we going to do? They want too many things. We can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as they agree to a deal, all of a sudden, all these big, huge partnerships just show. The next day was like money day.
Yeah.
It was like the direct deposit hit. Yo, it was what? The Audi deal, Continental Tire. I think El Jimador at that time was one of the ones. Yo, it was just like all these major sponsorships came in all of a sudden.
Yeah. I think the move might be, or one of the things to help the individual clubs is, and Paul Tenorio had pointed this out. So Mauro Manotas from Houston Dynamo is getting
$1 million deal,
getting offers from an unnamed European club. So we don't know yet, but the negotiations seem to be stalling because of the 25% that MLS will receive.
It's too much of a cut.
And Paul Tenorio made that point that it's like at this point where we are in Major League Soccer, that is an insane sum of money to take away from the club when they can use that stuff to, you know, to reinvest into the league. And it's the same issue, right? If they sell the player, then they can only use a certain amount of money to reinvest into the roster.
For the roster.
Into the roster.
So just promise The league should just say, if you promise to use it towards your academy or team, you can keep the 25%.
Well, they will, and they obviously
you don't know
should.
That. If I was one of the owners, I wouldn't. What's wrong with you? I mean, look at all the money I just got.
Thank heavens you are not an owner.
Yes, I agree.
but that would be the obvious kind of place to like reinvest into the club, so you can obviously.
But it's not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed, but
if you're willing to guarantee that, yeah, you'll use it towards your academy system, mm-hmm. then yeah, take the money.
So the hope, but that's that would be the hope that they would do that. But the fact that 25% of it already gets cut, then that's less to reinvest into the club. And at this point, especially with where MLS is getting money from, which is, yes, the Adidas deal, and then the expansion fees, it's like, hey, maybe you don't need this particular money anymore because MLS is technically not doing any work to sell to train the player and sell the player, right?
No.
So it's like, why?
Just sitting in your corner office, fat cat, taking 25%. Some mafia stuff like, oh, you're not going to get my beak wet?
Yeah.
You think you make a hit and I don't get a cut?
What, the VIG? Yeah, the VIG. Yeah, right? Yeah. I didn't learn too much from Sopranos, but I definitely got that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the VIG. I'll explain the VIG.
What's
later.
The VIG? Tell me what the VIG is.
That's the points per week that you owe on money that you borrow.
Okay.
So if got you it. Don't pay that, I have to. Now I come after you. And also, I take whatever it is that you wanted that money for.
All right.
It's like it's loan sharking, which is legal now. Montel Williams has commercials for it every day.
And we all respect Montel Williams, right? So we should listen to everything he says and does. So we'll see. It's this after the season. This I think the negotiations. When does it expire? I think end of January.
Yeah, it's at the end of the season.
Is it immediately after the end of the season and the negotiations start?
I think it has like a certain week period because remember they signed late last time.
Yeah. So the season.
Wait, wasn't when we started the podcast was right after
they had just renegotiated. Yeah.
And we're moving on up at the end of the CBA.
Yeah, we negotiated a new deal.
But we're still a single entity.
No, but there's a possibility. And this, all the players posting this can possibly suggest that they're willing to strike, right? If they're all on board.
I got
to
be honest, it's a lost cause if you do not strike. Unless you get what you want.
Okay, yeah. You think that should be one of the things that they do. If that is it.
That is the one thing that they didn't do last time that made them lose out.
Okay.
If you strike, if you stop the league from being able to play the first few games of the season, which is a massive pageantry.
And it's not even the first few games of the season. It's Champions League, which starts in February.
Son,
it would be a bail on issue.
That.
Yeah.
You're going to push them to the edge.
Okay. I mean,
all your friends are dead. Lil Uzi Vert. Also mafia. So happens when you don't pay the VIG. Look, we just came around.
Okay. So that's something to look out for. I don't know when I'm assuming after MLS Cup, the negotiations will kind of, start or get a little bit more intense.
Yeah.
But really, end of January, it has to be sorted out. There has to be some movement. Because there is a high possibility of a strike. So we'll see. So a couple other things to talk about. We were just talking about Romelu Lukaku, and we don't want to talk about this because it's just frustrating that it continues to happen, and it continues to happen with the same goddamn club. This happened last season to Moise Keane, who is now at Everton, and Romelu Lukaku playing. He plays for Inter Milan, playing against Cagliari, and he does. What does he do? I mean, he's taking a penalty.
It's being a normal human being.
Being a normal human being.
A professional soccer player.
Professional soccer player doing his job. And he gets the monkey chant during this.
Which Cagliari said that they're dedicated to getting rid of. No, you're not. They're still there.
It's been years. And so apparently this.
Where is Cagliari?
What's their pizza like? By taste racist.
Oh, you can't use specific cheese?
So. We're talking about this again because this obviously happens with this club often, but Romelu Lukaku, a high profile player.
Oh, it's in Sardinia. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
What does that mean?
It's an island off of Sardinia is known for being everyone. The joke about Sardinia is that everyone has knives.
Interesting.
It's an island of, it's like their Australia. It's like where if you were a criminal, that's where you would go. So like thieves and all that, that's where they would go.
Got it.
And stuff.
All right. Now.
We figured it out.
Two and two adding up. Okay, yeah. Guys. Yeah.
We know 2 + 2 equals racist.
You know what? It's a shame I didn't have any stereotypes about Sardinians, but now I'm glad I added that to my roster.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you know. Can't trust them.
So he's taking a penalty. He gets all the monkey chants. He buries the penalty. And after the game, he left a he put a post on Instagram just talking about how ridiculous it is. And yeah, it's like
he also stared at the fans.
Yes,
and that to me is like good. You score against them, you pinpoint it. Same thing Moise Keane essentially did, and he got booted. So that means Lukaku going back to Everton now. So shouts to you.
Okay. Well, he didn't get booted per se. They brought in
sold Moise Keane, one of the most promising prospects.
Yes, because they had to keep Dybala and like other stuff like that.
Right. We know why. So now all of a sudden he did the exact thing. This is what you do. You know, you display, you know, your excellence in the face of someone saying that you're less than they are. That's what you do. As a soccer player, your job is to score goals. He scores a goal. Yo, look at them fans. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I just, I mean, really, the responsibility is clearly on the Italian FA. I mean, why?
Yeah.
It's just like to tolerate it and to dismiss it for so long, to just be like, oh, it's just a couple bad apples. It's just like, well, the bad apples are ruining the bunch. You know what I mean?
Like Cagliari's like, no, I know Stefano. He's a good guy. Little crazy. You know?
It's just that's it. Like there has to be some punishment. Everyone must be punished for a small amount of people's behavior.
Like, normally I'd say send them to Sardinia, but like they're already there.
So
there's no punishment. What are you supposed to do now?
What are you sending me home? What is going on?
I guess you stay there longer. I mean, I'm not sure.
But no,
Tim wants to know how much of the racism do you think is hurting the popularity of soccer and also new fan interest? Unfortunately, it's inspiring a certain kind of fan to really get into it.
No,
like-minded individuals.
Realistically, look, ESPN bought the rights to Serie A, right? And they're airing all the games.
They're going to only show it on mute from now on, which is really going to kill the atmosphere.
No, they just have to play some, like some, you know, the Tool soundtrack over it. That'd be better. This is the big issue. I think in Italy, calcio been around a long time, not going anywhere, not going to be any less popular.
Doesn't matter about new fans or not.
Every league wants the American fan base. They know that is like that missing gold mine, and that's the next opportunity. They see the money the Premier League makes with the American fans. They want that here, and this what it truly does affect is the American interest in Serie A.
Well, I know ESPN has actually talked about potentially dropping Serie A because of this, but there's a new suitor for it, Fox News. I mean, Fox News. All over it. And shouts to you, Fox News. Yeah.
That's the great part of Alexis's jokes. They sound really serious. The premises sound real serious. Yeah. And then he giggles through the punchline.
You know what it is? You also can't see this. Christian looks at me and he goes, oh, here it comes. You don't know. You can't see it, but I can. He loses confidence what I'm about to say pretty quickly.
My favorite part is that one of the announcers is going to be Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He's going to take over.
Oh, wait till he hears about the helicopters. Helicopter people. We told you this was happening.
Just calling games with tinfoil on his head. It's going to be great.
I'm in the bunker. Edward Snowden's calling in.
Look, I think Romelu Lukaku is at least a... Look, he's more mature, a bit older than Moise Keane, who was kind of dealing with this. And this was like last season got a lot of publicity.
Because he's a kid.
He's a kid dealing with it. But Romelu Lukaku is a man. He's a big man.
That's a big man.
Big man, all right? So he's going to approach it with a little bit a different energy. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I think... he can help, improve this a little bit, or at least, I saw there was a story about that after this happened, that the Italian FA was going to start like a group to try to figure out like racial issues in Serie A or something.
And I
like
guarantee you there's not going to be one black person in there.
No, we do not need their input.
No. I mean, they can, but they have to use a different water fountain.
I hope it is diverse.
Those of us who are Italian will get together. No Sicilians, of course, just mainland Italians. And we will decide what happens.
So hopefully he could put some pressure to, and really all anybody's asking for is for Cagliari to be punished. That's like at least at the very least,
at the very least, those fans be banned for life.
Yeah.
And also,
there was a video that went viral of like in the crowd.
Filmed it themselves. One of the guys.
Like, it's me.
Hey,
I'm going.
Selfie. Hey, look at me. Hey. I make the racist remark. Hey. This is good. This is very fun. Very Sardinian. I've gone from German to Portuguese.
Yes,
I'm all over the board.
Look. Hopefully there's at least some movement, some action, something done, because this is embarrassing. Like, and then when you saw there was like a list of players that you know, high profile players that were dealing with this abuse, and it was like you know, Samuel Eto'o, and obviously like big huge players that's just like, and not to say that, you know, the big players should not suffer from racial abuse or whatever, but it's like the fact that there's just complete disregard, and they do not care, and that is clearly the culture of the fan base of, like, yeah. And again, not everybody,
no, but there's I'm sure there's people that condemn it that are,
but I hear it on the broadcast, bro. It's loud, yeah, enough. There's shut enough
those,
people
shut those mics off.
Yo,
we should make a drop for them that whenever something racist happens, ESPN shuts it off and is like, here we go, Italians, here we go. It's just that one.
Just a little fun, little chipper. You know, just change the mood a little bit.
You know, hey, those Italian fans, they're actually quite nice, and their English is impeccable.
So, again.
Here we go, soccer players, here we go.
So fun.
Yeah.
Bring the kids.
Yeah. God, you know, they really turned a new leaf out there.
So hopefully there's again some changes. All right. So a couple other things that we should talk about before we get to our interview. We're excited to be talking to Tommy Thompson from San Jose Earthquakes. That's gonna be great.
Tomas Thompson.
Tomas, that's right. He's at hermano, mi hermano.
De lo mío.
So Carly Lloyd, we have to talk about this because this has been getting riling up Twitter, right?
Yeah.
NFL Twitter and NWSL Twitter and
USMNT, USWMNT.
Everybody has an opinion on this, but Carly Lloyd, a video went viral of her at Philadelphia Eagles training camp.
And she hit a 55-yard field goal.
55-yard field goal.
And she's from South Jersey, so Philly's her team.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. You know, I mean, I lost respect for her because I'm a Giants fan, but what are you going to do?
Speaking of Eagles, you mentioned it before.
So, but no, Carly Lloyd nails a 55-yard field goal, right? And this is...
But, like, it looked easy.
Exactly. And then what's the mistake everybody makes when they see a video on Twitter of a woman completing any task? You look at the comments and you're like, oh boy, I made a huge mistake.
Wow. A lot of Cagliari fans in the mentions.
All right, you're being wild Cagliari right now. Yeah. All right.
Say, hashtag Sardinians out here.
No, so everybody was like, well, she took too many steps to take in the NFL. She would not have that much time and whatever.
That is the only, so the ESPN did their science thing, you know,
okay,
the science.
Yes,
that's the
science.
Only knock against what she did is that she probably wouldn't be able to complete that in an NFL game because it just takes too long to get to the ball.
Yes.
That's the only thing. Everything else was like, this is great. Everything else was like, wow. And it's, one thing was, yo, she doesn't have that time for that run up, which I'm sure she'd adjust.
Yeah.
It's not like she's just going to walk on and be like, give me the pads. How long?
It's also like, we can't dismiss that she hit a 55. 55- I could have a 5,000 like yard, like 5,000 steps.
Here's what
I
you do.
I would never hit it, right? Most people would not hit a 55-yard field goal.
You put my leg in a cast, okay? And then you strap me to the front of a rocket, and you send that rocket, my leg stretched out towards that ball, and guess what happens? I die. That's it. That ball doesn't go through that.
So let's not toss it aside like, whatever, but this. Well, actually this. Well, actually that.
And they're like, someone goes, could she even handle the NFL. She won a World Cup multiple times. She scored half pitch against China.
Yeah. She also broke a girl's ribs the other day. Yeah, right?
We were there. And then they played a game afterwards.
So trust me, of all people, we know this one is tough. All right. This is a tough lady. So she hits this field goal, which is incredibly impressive. Now, the questions of like being a kicker. There's lots of soccer players that they play in college and then they become NFL kickers.
Remember Tony Meola? I don't know. You probably weren't a fan like that.
Yes, I have heard.
Everybody was like, "Here's a chance." I think it was with the Chiefs for a while. Every goalkeeper. Yeah. As soon as MLS started, they're like, "Oh wow, they kicked the ball that far? Come play for the NFL team." You know.
Yeah. So the idea of a soccer player becoming an NFL kicker is not unheard of, right? No. It's just that
that's what Harry Kane wants to do.
Sure, yeah. Who knows?
No, what? For real. You heard him, right? He wants to play for the Patriots when he's done.
Yeah, but I also don't respect him for that.
No. He loves the red hats. He wants to go to Cagliari for his season ticket holder.
I want to try. He's forcing a transfer. Yeah. My childhood club.
There's just something about the fan base.
It's not unheard of for a soccer player to hit a field goal.
No,
they can do it. Their
muscles and their legs are specifically built to be kicking balls.
A woman doing it, it's really not that crazy.
No, and also they have rules against hitting the quarterback at certain times. Everyone's afraid, like what happens if the kick is missed or if it's bobbled. Now she's in play,
and those are fair questions, right? Because those are like NFL questions, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if Martin Gramatica, remember him?
Yeah, I do.
The guy was like 4'8", maybe 120 pounds. I might be making some of that. If that guy could survive a couple hits, Carly, remember when I high-fived Carly Lloyd?
Yeah.
Her hand hurt my hand. She physically assaulted me with a high five. I'm not saying that, that against a linebacker is the same, right? My hand demonstrably much weaker than that of a linebacker.
Look, if you were running if you're a coach of an NFL team, you would comprehend that having Carly Lloyd as your kicker, there's clearly risks, right?
Yeah.
You have to weigh the pros and cons compared to the other talent that you have.
Right.
But can she nail field goals? It seems so, but can she do other NFL stuff and other football stuff?
Maybe.
Maybe. We don't know. But look, it's a fair question to ask, but to just be like, well, she couldn't, what, like, you don't know what she could or could not do.
You don't know. You have no clue. You've never met the woman. You've never seen her up close. I have. And let me tell you, also, she's from Jersey. She'd be all right.
She is here. And look, I if this was just any soccer player, any woman soccer player, I would have some more concern, some more doubts.
We met Rose Lavelle. She's strong as shit, but she is a very petite person.
Yeah, I don't want her near 400-pound lineman. No. I'll be honest, okay?
He was worried about me being there. What if I rolled over on her or something?
Okay, it's just like, it's like they tell you not to sleep next to your baby. That's sort of like with Alexis.
What if I sneezed and fell on her ankle? You never know, right?
That's kind of, I have the same worries. But also,
her husband's cool with it. Like, who the hell are we if her and her husband had this conversation and they both agree that it's fine?
Yeah.
And that's someone who knows her really well, and she's cool with it.
He's like, I don't care if she comes back home with CTE. She should live her dream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, could we just get me some more charcuterie plates? I'm more of a homemaker now.
but look,
you know what I mean? Like, that's a relation. They had the conversation. They both talked about it. Everyone's cool with it. Like, who the hell are you to worry about if the person who knows her the most intimately is like, yo, this would be lit. If that guy's like that, who are you?
Yeah, I just think that's the thing that, like, don't people dream anymore? Don't people have imaginations? Like, how cool would this be? Yeah. Like,
well, read that haiku you're about to write.
Come on, man. Let yourself explore a little bit more, you know?
Jeez. Believe in wonderment.
Just, it's just that the NFL fan base is so like this monolith of like, it's just they're already so harsh and critical over on the male players. You know what I mean? Like,
of course,
it's just like they make too much money and they you know, and like they just don't grasp the risk. Like even with what's his name, the quarterback from the Colts, that just
Andrew Luck,
they booed him, which is whatever, but. The fan base, just like the way fans of the NFL kind of react to any player being even mildly sensitive or vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's just, it's absurd. Like, you don't want to
go through 30 car accidents a day and you're like, get up and walk it off.
Just it's a difficult opinion to take seriously when they're talking about the possibility of a female player playing in the NFL at any role, right?
I want her to do it just to shut them all up, and I hope she stares at all of them afterwards.
Just give them the Lacazette stare. Yeah. It's been rebranded, bro. So we're gonna get to our interview in a second. We have 5 minutes, Alexis. There were a couple games that were just absolutely insane. Minnesota
beating Carlos Vela. LAFC,
correct.
Is that big enough of a loss? Not having Carlos Vela in there to suggest that this isn't Minnesota winning the game. It's LAFC not being able to prepare themselves for the game or not winning it.
Well, there were a couple. Actually, Mark Anthony Kay didn't start the game, and I thought that was
he's incredible.
He is, and I thought that was a bold decision from Rob Bradley to be like, I don't think Minnesota.
It's a bald position.
See this? I like that Eric's here because he can actually do the nod that he's probably like the listeners.
He's not losing his headphones aren't falling off as he just shakes his head quietly.
I'm sure listeners heard that and were like, oh boy. But we got to like see a person actually do it.
Yeah. No, like, God, they're going to lose their television show.
yes, I think there was a little bit of a cocky lineup.
Who cares? Because it let Mason Toy shouts to South Orange, New Jersey. Mason Toy coming out with the maracas and
both goals were just absolutely incredible.
That one, I mean, when they compare him to Thierry Henry, like even the way his gait, you know, the way he runs, mm-hmm. the gait he's got on his house, all of it, now, everything looks just like Thierry Henry.
I'm sure he has like 12 roommates. Yeah,
the way he scores and that back leg kind of curls the opposite way, everything he does reminds me of Thierry Henry, but just a little bit more gully, not as French.
Okay, all right. I think Mason Toy is. You were definitely talking him up all weekend quite a bit. I think Mason Toy's a good player. He's had a couple good goals.
Incredible player.
He also spit on Reggie Cannon.
Yeah, no, look,
a couple days ago.
Listen, all right, you're gonna have to start forgiving some of the East Coast, some of the Essex Countyans. Look, we're not raised right. There's a reason. All right, the same thing that makes Mason Toy that cool under that much pressure and that nonchalant under. I mean, again, I think Matt Doyle said it. This guy just was a part of a horrific final loss mm-hmm. that ripped him apart emotionally. And here he is now taking charge of a game on his own. That same thing that makes him that also, unfortunately, sometimes triggers the, y'all should spit on this dude. You know what I mean? So he just has to learn. It's part of growing up in an area like that. He's going to start to learn like, oh, okay, I can't do those things. This is real life now. You know what I mean?
Really? It's I'm surprised it just took him quite a while to learn to not spit on people.
You know what?
When I found out, spit on his coworkers.
When I found out he spit on somebody, I was like, what'd that guy do? This is the problem, you know? Like, you know what I mean? I do a bit about it now where I'm like, someone's like, yo, my car got stolen. I'm like, who the fuck told you to park on that block? Sometimes it's their fault sometimes. You know what I mean? That's how we think, and it's wrong. I'm trying to be a better person. And so is Mason. He now knows. Slaps, you know, spits out. Spit don't do
it. No one's spitting. Okay, cool. All right.
Shouts to him. I mean, I want to have him on the show.
Yeah, it was very entertaining. Yes. Over Skype. Not in person. I don't know.
Spit on Christian. She would have been saying about you, though. We'll make it hot before you get in here.
I don't want to pile on the kid or whatever.
First of all, he's super young.
Yeah,
and he's incredible. Incredible. I want him to get a call up to the senior team. I know he got called up to the U23.
So, well, we start somewhere. All right. Okay.
Yeah, but Kisa Vetter was in the U23s. Do you even know who that is? Thank you. One of the best players in the U23 system the last like 6 years.
Okay. Did he spend on, he didn't spend on anybody.
He might have. He spent on his own career, though. Maybe his agent. I don't know. I don't nobody know.
All right,
is.
Next game, real quick. LA Galaxy against the Sounders. Sounders hosting this game at the Clink. Win this game 4-3. What a ridiculous game where nobody decided to play defense.
This was two boxers just saying, let's not block each other's shots.
Hit me in the kidneys. It's all good.
I can take it. They both rope-a-doped each other.
Look, the great comeback from LA Galaxy, right? And goals from, you know, Skelvic, you don't expect that.
No.
Great goals, nonetheless. But this defensive, it's just like every week, how can they be this bad? It reminds me of, remember when Pep Guardiola, like in his first year, was like, we don't do defensive drills. Like
they know what to do.
They know what to do. And it's like, it sounds like Guillermo Barros-Skelotto is like, we don't do defensive drills. They know what to do, but they really do not know what to do.
It turns out they don't. You know what I mean? I feel like maybe you should just do one, you know, just kind of get a general idea out there.
It boggles my mind that they could have so many defensive issues. And also, Seattle Sounders, they also kind of having defensive issues. I think ever since Chad Marshall had to retire,
yeah.
It's unfortunate, but he was clearly the leader of that team and the leader of that back line.
I think also people just, when they think of Seattle Sounders, they remember, you know, Roman Torres and Chad Marshall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and how strong of a duo that was. We're seeing now, maybe influenced by some chemicals, but whatever, you know, shouts to the opinion, future Panamanian president. But now you don't have that anymore. Also, that midfield, they're all the way up at all times. You know what I mean? Like, they're constantly, I mean.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I think Roldan is going to win the Golden Boot. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Roldan's like, nah, man, I'm cool up here. And you're like, have you thought about maybe helping us back here? Like, I seem to be doing pretty well up here. So why don't you do that?
Great goal. He got a brace. I mean,
that first goal was a beast of a goal.
It's just that you don't expect the goals coming from him in particular.
Yeah.
Happy that that's the case. But the giving up so the last couple of weeks and with how close the Western Conference is, you don't want to see the Sounders give up this many goals.
No.
The main concern is who's going to be left out of this Western Conference, because Portland is right there. FC Dallas is right there on the fringe. LA is also on the fringe. Somebody's going to be asked out.
And if Sporting Kansas City wins one or two more games, it's going to make this thing wildly interesting.
Yeah. So, great game. It's just one of the more entertaining games. But I thought the most entertaining game this weekend was Philadelphia Union hosting Atlanta United. This was a great, great game. And
also the atmosphere.
The atmosphere. We got to give shouts because last season we were talking about like, yo, nobody's going to these, no one's going to Talon Energy Stadium to watch
everything
these games.
Everything changed.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if it
Fang.
Was. Fang. The digital team, the marketing team out of Philadelphia Union.
They got the Beavis and Butthead video. They're killing it.
Everything is working because a full Talon Energy Stadium. And you heard JP Del Camera talking about it on the broadcast where he's like, I can't hear the whistle. It's like, what is it? Yo, this is the World Cup?
Yeah.
Why is it so loud?
Should he retire? Is he getting old?
No, but that's just, it's beautiful to see, genuinely. It's just incredible.
What I love about it is it looked like a street fight. Like, there's something about Philly and the way they play where they're just like, it just seems like hands are flailing everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a bit of like just insanity in how they play. And then Casper scores. Like, there's just an odd, like the ball's being headed back and forth. Like none of this looks like it was prepared. You know what I mean?
It just looks
a pickup game, but everyone's kind of really good.
So strange because like the Philadelphia Union games that I've watched more closely were the ones against NYCFC.
Yeah.
And you start seeing like, when we talk about this all the time, when we talked about it with Bobby Boswell, when we had him on our live show in Atlanta,
where
he was talking about, we were asking him like, why in that first season for Atlanta United, why is it that DC United always had their number? When Atlanta United was like kind of beating a lot of teams
everybody
easily.
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, it's just a matchup. There's just some matchups that some teams cannot figure out. And that's sort of how Philadelphia Union has a couple of those teams. They're a good team, but they play against NYCFC. They play against certain teams.
They play big body.
But they just can't. Like with NYCFC, they just seem lost, right? We saw them in the at the end of last season and then in the playoff game. They just two games, they played them back to back. And they just couldn't figure them out. They just struggled. And Philadelphia Union are like, they have a couple of those teams that just give them a lot of trouble. But Atlanta United...
You would assume Atlanta United is one of them.
I thought Philly better team in the first half, but you know, Joseph Martinez is Joseph Martinez.
Yeah.
But that second half from Philadelphia Union is some of it's the best second half of soccer I've seen them play this season.
It's incredible.
And it was great to see the quick goals. Who was it? Brendan Aaronson scored.
Who's Kasper what? Shabilko. He's like 18. Brendan Aaronson.
It's a kid. All right.
Damn child.
He's starring in his own cartoon. It's incredible.
What?
He was one of the ones.
Oh, he was one of the ones. I thought, I'm like, what?
He was one of the characters in the Beavis and Butthead parody. Okay. Well, but it was a great game. And props to you, Philadelphia Union. Back on top of the Eastern Conference. Still, NYCFC has two games in hand. Atlanta, I believe, has one.
Philly and New York are both now in the playoffs. They both clinched the spot. Atlanta United yet to do it. They're only 2 points behind. But also, New York got to get a game in hand. If New York wins their next game, they're in first place.
Yeah.
New York City.
Sure. And the Rebels had a rough go at it at home, losing to the Colorado Rapids.
On Tim Howard's last game in Jersey.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were a brace.
They were beaten by
a
mercenary.
former NYCFC player.
Which, as NYCFC fans, we were constantly saying, let this kid play. And look what he does. Right. He scores two against a very tough opponent on a very bad team.
Yeah. Yeah. It
just goes to show what he could have done.
Yeah. Did you hear there was a quote? I think Glenn Crooks may have gotten it from Jonathan Lewis, where he said he asked him how he feels about Colorado. And he says, I wish I was still back in New York trying to fight for a position.
Damn.
It's like a weird. It's just like, wow. That was like
everyone behind him. Like,
yeah, that wasn't any media train. That was very serious.
It's like, I'll leave this woman right now for you. And they're like, sir, these are your vows. Stop okay. talking to her sister like that.
It was very serious. But look, he's getting playing time. And he's getting those goals. And the goals that he did score were incredible.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. So
only once or twice did I see him do something where I'm like, he could have passed and made it better. But you know, that's part of that being a striker, right? Is that cockiness of like, nah, I got it.
Yeah.
And I think the kid's got it.
He does. So that's it. Those are a couple of the games we wanted to talk about. Hopefully we don't listen to the show for the coverage of the games.
No.
But we're
if you do, you've made a great mistake.
You're listening to the wrong show. Yeah. I apologize. Yes. So I hope we talked about your team and I hope you loved our takes on it. But let's get to our interview with Tommy Thompson because he's waiting on the line.
Let's do it.
And
he's waiting on the line.
It sounds cool.
It sounded official. We got a line.
But yes, Tommy Thompson of the San Jose Earthquakes joins us next.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Yes, we are.
Holding on the line.
I'm glad he didn't hang up.
Yeah.
This is we're stoked. We've been talking about this dude for really like the last like 2 months.
We stand for Tommy Thompson.
Okay. Yeah. We've you know, it's always nice to support the fellow Latinos.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We están.
But yes, introduce our guest, Alexis.
I mean, you know him, right? You've seen him man marking all over the field for the San Jose Earthquakes. The man, the myth, the legend, the dancer, the Espanol poetry reader. Unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Tommy Thompson, everybody.
Tommy, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Come on. Thank you for being on the show, dude.
So I think I've been watching a lot of interviews with you recently and in Spanish, which has been just wild.
Yeah. What's the Rosetta Stone budget like for the San Jose Earthquakes?
Yeah. It's actually been all Duolingo. Rosetta Stone didn't work as well for you for some reason.
Yeah, see, that's what I've been talking about, because I did Duolingo for French for like a year, and it helped a lot, and I did learn quite a bit. But then when I felt like I wasn't, because I wasn't in an environment where I was like learning French regularly or having to speak French, I didn't really get an opportunity to like learn more. But you are very much in an environment where you have to know some Spanish. And I think you are handling it quite well because you have picked up the language very, very well.
Yeah, I told myself at the beginning of the year that if I didn't at least do everything I can to learn this language, it'd be such a waste, because this is an amazing opportunity to be immersed in this language. And it's a really cool opportunity to connect with guys that I haven't been able to connect with my whole career. I mean, guys like Anibal, Godoy, or Harold Cummings, they've been my teammates for years now, and I haven't been able to speak to them in their own language. So it's been a really cool experience as it's progressed throughout the year.
I'm sure when you maybe have a slight error in training, you may hear Almeida say a few words, maybe not covered by Duolingo. You know, it's weird. I've been doing this for a while. Never heard those words put together in such a way.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still picking up on the vocab that's outside of the Duolingo vocab, but it's been fun. That's what the guys on the team are for, to teach me those words.
What's the challenge with the different Spanish dialects, right? Because I'm sure you're learning one thing on Duolingo and then hearing like Argentinian Spanish and hearing Panamanian Spanish. And what troubles does that bring you when you're trying to just learn the language?
Yeah, it's so bizarre because I'm studying on Duolingo, and the only dialect that they offer is the Spanish from Spain.
Yeah, which none of us talk like that. Yeah. You sound like you just showed up from Europe. Like, excuse me, sir.
Well, royalty's here.
Well. The king sent one of his men.
Yeah, that's one of my coaches actually said the accent sounds like Colombian.
Oh, that's great. But
no, it's interesting because then. I study, spend so much time studying, figure out how to say something, and then I say it. And I think a lot of times guys are thrown off by it because it actually isn't how someone from Mexico would say it, or someone from Argentina would say it, or someone from Panama, Peru. I mean, we got guys from all over the place. So it's tricky. It's a challenge, but it's a lot of fun.
What, yeah, dude, you sound like a narc, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a cop going to high school, like, what's up, kids? Is everyone on fleek? And you're like, get this guy out of here. Yeah,
well, exactly.
On a more serious note, I'm curious, like, how has it changed your life? Because we talk about American soccer and how diverse it is, and how, like, even as Latinos, we appreciate American, or you know, non-Spanish speaking American people to kind of embrace the culture, and instead of being either dismissive or being like, you got to be speak English and whatever, it's beautiful to see someone else be like, oh, let me try to understand this culture. But how has it affected your life outside of soccer?
Right. And to piggyback on that, like, when how everyone was amazed when Joseph Martinez did, you know, an interview in English, that's how amazed us Latinos were when we heard you speak in Spanish. We're like, yeah. Hey,
this is great.
Yeah. No, I think it's been amazing for me to see how much the Spanish speakers appreciate it, because I think as Americans, for some reason in this country, there's some sort of expectation where it's like, okay, you're living here, you should know how to speak English. Whereas I think countries in Europe see it completely differently. I think they're very welcoming of the people in France also knowing English, the people in Sweden knowing English as well. I think there's just different languages are much more, different languages are much more welcome. So just for me to be able to, I wouldn't say I'm fluent in Spanish, but for me to be able to be conversational and talk to guys and connect with guys in their own language, it's been really refreshing for me to see how much more open guys will become after that. It's such a gift, and it's something that I've never experienced before, because my whole life I haven't been able to speak it. And then all of a sudden now, 8 months into this year, 9 months into this year, it's a completely different perspective. So it's been really awesome.
Let's talk about going out to eat Spanish food. Have we gotten the discount that we get? Have you been offered a couple extra empanadas? A little something.
Actually, it's funny that you say that, because there's a really good Mexican restaurant in San Jose called Luna. And I went to this restaurant for my birthday just like last week, and then they hooked it up a little bit, because I went there at the beginning of the year, and that was when I just had come back from Cancun, and I was talking to one of the waiters about trying to learn Spanish, and then he's now followed the progression And so he rewarded me with a little extra birthday dish, which
what I tell you. That's good. That's how Latin moms, when you like when you do your homework, you get a little extra food.
Well, for those of us who didn't do their homework, they still know how to find the extra food. Shouts to all the fat Latinos out there like me, baby. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll go to like a bodega and I have a look where no one's really sure what I am. And like maybe like the dude, the bodega by me, the dude's Yemeni, and he's always like, Habibi, and I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll be Yemeni right now.
I'll take it.
Let me get this Essentia water for the same price as a Poland Spring, my guy.
Alexis was asking about how is it affected, like with food. I'm curious. Learning a new language must open the dating options. I don't know what your relationship.
Are you on El Hinge?
Are you using your newfound skills for a different demographic? What's up?
Are you on
personally? I like this. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I was talking to some of the guys on the team about, some of my coaches about. I got to make some off-season trips to really fully immerse myself in it. I think that's where it'd be a lot of fun to try to be in different social settings and try to fit in. I'm looking forward to that.
So
not a ton of time to do that during the season, unfortunately.
It'd be so dope to see Tommy Thompson with like a Univision weather girl.
I know. Yeah.
Like, yo.
Sophia Vergara's new boyfriend, wow. Tommy Thompson.
He's really adapting.
Tommy living life right now. Also, you have no idea how hard it crushes to be the white guy who knows Spanish in another country, dog. You're going to destroy.
Yeah, I mean, I it's all been throughout the MLS season, so I haven't had much time to go on any type of vacations or anything like that where I'd have the opportunity to use it. So I'm excited because it's new for me as well. So
it's like a new superpower.
I'll have to come back on after the off season. We can talk more about it.
No doubt, man.
Absolutely. We'll talk about it a little bit off record, and then we'll turn the mic on. But also, just think about like you go to Latin America. They start playing some reggaeton at a club with these man marking skills you've also developed. You're gonna be grinding. Perfect.
Little perreo.
Woman marking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This new system, this new language, it's taught me a lot. On and off the field. I haven't really thought about that.
We really opened some doors for you, my guy.
Well, let's talk about the San Jose earthquakes. Let's get a little bit professional so that the whole front office is not mad at us. The San Jose earthquakes, right? The beginning of the season, we thought, being honest, we thought it was going to be another San Jose earthquake season. It was just going to be another rough year. And we didn't we weren't sure, like, what is Almeida going to really do to kind of change this roster? Was the roster the issue?
It took a couple games before it seems like you guys have sort of begun to gel.
Yeah, right. And then but now is sitting in fourth place in the Western Conference,
a tough Western Conference.
What are the first few things that where you notice things immediately change, like the team kind of just like figure things out and this like this is what our identity is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, we went to Cancun at the beginning of the year. That was basically our first trip. Like, we did a couple different fitness tests and then we all hopped on a flight to Cancun, and just observing Matias and watching the way he coached and the way he connected with the group. Like, we'd be sitting down before practice and we'd be talking for as a player, as a coach, on and off the field, and I could see the connection he was making with us. He'd go on for 30 or 40 minutes sometimes, and guys were locked in, and you could see that regardless of whether a guy was from South America or if he was from the United States or if he was from Europe, guys were locked into what he was saying. So it was obvious to me that the type of connection that he was making. And that was when I first decided, like after the third or fourth meeting in Cancun, before practice, that was where I was like, I got to learn this language. I have to talk to this guy. This is incredible what he's doing. And then that was where the off the field connection started up for me. At least that's from what I observed. And then after that, I think it took a couple weeks for us to get used to the system. Yeah, so I saw something special happen in that LAFC preseason game, and in my head, I put it together. I was like, this connection that we've made off the field as a team in Cancun is starting to translate onto the field. I didn't know if it would translate directly in the first couple games of the MLS season or if it would take 3 games, 5 games, 10 games, 15 games, whatever it was. But I knew something special was going to happen. So for me, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah, I just love that the San Jose Earthquakes, when you, that main concern where it was like, how are the non-Spanish speaking players going to connect and adapt to this coach that does not speak the language, right? That was like,
and it's also a system that's rare. You don't see the system played elsewhere, so it's not like you might have played in a man marking system for your previous coach. You kind of have to listen to what he's saying.
Yeah, but we know, Pelado is quite the intense human being, right? He does seem like quite an intense man, and you can see why he has those qualities of like a general that you would follow into battle,
right? Certainly into a salon. I mean.
but it is impressive to see, and my favorite thing is like this rejuvenation of some of the San Jose Earthquakes players. What is going on with Shea Salinas? Why is he scoring so much? We're not used to this,
Shea.
yeah, exactly. Shea's been killing it. Wando's having another amazing year. Florian Youngworth is doing great as center back. I mean, it's been so fun to watch the guys I've been playing with for so long start to have a lot of success again, because it was really tough on us last year especially. So for Matias to come in, and basically he had a meeting with our team at the end of last year, and he said that we believe in this group. We think you guys are a lot better than what you showed in 2018. And so for a coach to come in and say that, even though we weren't recruited by him, for him to say that he believes in us and he's going to change things with this group, I mean, that to me, that was something special. And I did not expect to hear that. So to see everything transpire exactly how he said it would has been an amazing experience.
That's awesome.
Now, I recently made a couple headlines, mostly for my on our own website, but I said that I think San Jose can win MLS Cup. And then one of my main reasons for saying that is because you guys play a style that's, you sort of have to like be immersed in it in order to really understand it. As simple as it sounds when you first say man marking, there's a lot that really goes into it. I know you recently had that 3 losses in a row. You're back 2 wins in a row. Talk a little bit about what are some of the changes that can be made in such a restrictive system like you have, even though it's completely open, that would allow you to sort of make a good run in the playoffs, because people will start to kind of figure you out the further along you play. Talk about some of the changes that have been happening in the team or that you think can be sort of made that would help you adjust.
Yeah, I think it's really important for us to stay focused because it's a system where it's incredibly detail oriented. And so if you have guys that take a couple plays off defensively, especially, all of a sudden now we can be extremely exposed. And so I think sometimes if you go on a good run, it's you start getting maybe a little overconfident and you start loosening up in certain areas. But as long as we stay focused and we really do everything we can when it comes to focusing on the little things that each player needs to do in attack and in defense, I think we're a really difficult team to play against. So I'm excited. There's going to be in the next 6 games that we have, and then playoffs as well. So it's pressure, but it's what we want. I think this team, we're excited about it.
And I'm curious how do you think your game has changed with your new coach this season?
Yeah, I think he basically after the Cancun trip as well, he came up to me and he said, "Are you comfortable in this position?" Because I had played a couple friendly games as a right back, and then I told him quiero estar en la cancha. Like, I just want to be on the field.
Tato, loco. Ahí es, coño.
Mi hermano, ahí. Haciendo lo que quiere hacer.
So I told him that, and he was like, okay, like, keep that energy. I keep that same energy. And, I mean, since then, I haven't really looked back. I think it's a system where the outside back is constantly overlapping the winger. So in this system, I'm actually getting a lot more attacking reps than I've gotten as an attacking center midfielder sometimes in San Jose. So I think it suits me really well, and I've been enjoying it.
Well, dude, it's been beautiful to see. And it's just like, I love seeing you thrive, and, you know, not just dancing on YouTube videos. You know, it's kids got skills. The kids got skills. We know that. But it's been great kind of seeing for the entire team. There's like this different energy, especially compared to the last couple difficult seasons that you guys have had. So
especially for someone like Tommy, who you just, you know, you want to see him happy. You know what I mean? He's got a great smile.
That's right.
You know what I mean? He's ordering the chips and guac, you know what I mean, for the table. You know what I mean? He's getting hooked up. This mofongo's on me, my guy. You know?
Yeah, we got to introduce you to some Dominican cuisine
and
Cuban food, bro. So next time, you guys are going to be here.
Also some real pizza. He's from not far from Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Hinsdale.
That's right. That's so, right. But you guys are playing, we're in New York, so you guys will be playing NYCFC next weekend. So who knows? Maybe we can go out and
get a couple slices
and get the team nutritionist mad at Tommy.
Right?
Yeah, I'll have to hit you guys up. That sounds good.
Let's do it. Tommy, where can people follow you?
My Instagram and Twitter is at TomTom11. So TomTom11.
Very cool.
Pues, Tommy, nos da mucho orgullo de tenerte aquí en nuestro programa.
Un honor.
What did he say?
We got to get him the Dominican Duolingo.
Nos da mucho orgullo tenerte en nuestro programa.
So for me, that's my issue. That's what's crazy about my Spanish is like, so when I, and that's what throws my coaches off sometimes too, is I'll say something and it's correct. It's the same thing with the interviews. So I have basically all of these words inside my head, but as soon as somebody uses different words,
a new word, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm like, look, I'm sorry, because for some reason I get so focused on words I don't know. And I'll be able to talk in Spanish, but when it comes to listening, it's so backward that I just struggle.
Orgullo means pride. We're very happy to have you on.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
How about this one? Muchas gracias por llamar.
Es estar felices. Okay.
Pues cuídese, Tommy.
Hasta la próxima, Tommy.
Take care, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much, dude.
See you later.
Tommy Thompson.
Tommy.
Tomas.
Hermano.
Wow. All right, so he also learned orgullo, which is pretty good.
Look, so we have some, we offered something.
Our duo. Teaching a lingo. You know what I mean? Look what we just did.
Okay, look at that. Get us on the app.
Yeah, come on. Yo, we should be teaching people on the app. Yo, you got that wrong.
No, thank you, Tommy Thompson, for joining us on the show. Absolute honor. It's dope. We haven't had a San Jose Earthquakes player on before. We had a journalist.
We had one of the journalists.
Robert Jonas.
Yeah, bits. Remember that? He was funny.
Great dude. And that was our 100th episode, coincidentally. Yeah. So,
and this is our 200th, right?
It is not, but okay. but awesome. Tommy Thompson, great, hilarious. And I wish him the best the rest of the season. So, yes. So, that's the end of the show. But we have a surprise.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. So
I almost forgot. A special unboxing.
A special unboxing.
Which I'm sure if you're watching the video, you can see the Lionel Messi bobblehead.
Yes, we have.
We're going to be giving away a bunch of those.
Correct. So we're going to be giving away a bunch of bobbleheads. We have a bunch of Barcelona bobbleheads.
Yeah. And if you want to win, it's really tough. You just email us and ask us for it. And
we're going to be doing giveaways. Don't worry. Just follow us on social media. We'll give them away. But we're going to give, this one's going to Eric, Gully Squad member out here. So we're going to give him this Leo Messi bobblehead. But
we have a gift. We're going to do an unboxing, but it's specifically For Tim.
For Tim.
Tim. Tim, get in here, Tim.
Tim, get in. I know you're in the control room.
Let me text him. He might not even be in there right now.
But come in here if you're watching this. And this is our last day.
This is our last day here at Stage 17.
Correct.
OG Podcast Network. And so that drop you guys hate is probably going to come off the show.
So
Timmy, get up here.
We've been, we've been doing this show here for about, I would say, 2 years. And
just about 2 years.
Us being in this space has like kind of just changed our lives. And
it's been amazing. Are we out of frame if I stand up?
To me.
Now I'm not gonna ruin the show. Say hello to the fans.
Hey fans.
This is Tim Einenkel. He's been our producer for I finally got it. I'm glad I said it and not Alexis, because it wouldn't
everyone knows is Hoofenheisen, so I don't know why we're tripping.
My favorite beer, that Hoofenheisen. We've been at the space for a while. Initially it was another comedian that had brought us on to OG Podcast Network and stuff like that.
But doing what comedians do, he got fired. So
he did not get fired.
He moved on. Tim got fired.
But Tim got here. And we weren't sure what the show would look like with the new producer and a person who we didn't know was interested in anything we had to say or cared about soccer. But Tim has been incredibly supportive from as soon as he got here and learned about soccer more than he probably wanted to ever know. All we can say is thank you for helping us get the
also
show.
Also, tell the fans what your podcast is. You're a big hip hop head.
Oh, it's called The Library with Tim Einenkel. It's a hip hop podcast inside the Actor's Studio, but for hip hop.
There you go. So listen to some hip hop. We got you an unboxing. I don't know if you could tell what it is, Tim.
We got him some cupcakes.
Yeah, we got you cupcakes. Listen, we wanted to thank you for all your hard work. I know, Christian, I kicked it by mistake. We tried to hide it from you. All right, I'm sorry.
We tried to hide it. Stepped on cupcakes.
I mean, they got cooliganized. We tried to hide it from you, and Christian put it close to me, and I didn't know. And in the Tommy Thompson video, I just straight kicked it. So some of them have been jostled around, and you're sharing this with us, whether you like it or not. We want to thank you for all of your hard work, and I know we're not easy to put up with, Christian primarily.
Yeah, sure.
And I know it could be tough, what's your fondest memory of having worked with us?
Wow. This wasn't the plan at all. I was just wanting to give him the cupcakes and say thanks. But Alexis now wants a compliment.
I guess today.
But it took a while.
The loaded questions.
No, man, but no.
It's been great. No, it has. It's been great. I've learned a lot of soccer. You guys are funny, which is important as comedians, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
No, you guys have been good, and it's been great working with you. So,
thank you, Tim. Thank you for
it. It's all mine.
Everything. So, we have to end the show the way we normally end the show, and that it's an honor to include Tim in it this time. So, for Tim Einenkel, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!